The book of Acts, we continue in this journey. And we continue to look at, again, our lectionary scripture passages and what God has to teach us through that common lectionary over the course of the next few years, really. This morning we turn to Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1, again, kind of the beginning of the church here. And prior to the Holy Spirit, kind of the let you understand. They're kind of re-looking or reviewing what's been going on in the life and the times of Christ, the church, and the future of that. And so again, we come to Acts chapter 1, and we read the Word of God. So I invite you, if you would, stand for the Word of God, where it says this. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas. He served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. Therefore, it's necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." And so they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. And so he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the Word of God. Please have a seat. Mother's Day. I mean, we've had a little fun with it here. We've laughed a little bit. I love Mother's Day in so many ways, but I'm going to just tell you that Mother's Day, as far as a pulpit goes, as far as preaching goes, as far as sharing the Word of God goes, is not an easy thing. Especially after a while doing it. There's kind of that challenge between, do you brag about moms or do you challenge moms to step up? How do you handle it? You got to handle the idea that for some people they had great relationships with their mothers. For other people, not so great. Some, they, again, have lost their moms and are grieving. Some wish they knew their mom. Some were unable to have children. 50 years of life, 20 years of ministry, Mother's Day, what in the world do I say? A lot has been said this morning that probably speaks a lot louder than me. What do I say? And so as I thought about this crazy day, I thought first of our world. Our world that so often is broken. A world that so often seems motherless. A world that is filled in which we have less and less relationships and in many ways less and less nurturing. Whereas I've said earlier, it seems like bullying is on a rise, hatred is on a rise, and the idea of love and caring and nurturing is gone. Even the idea of being a mother is not what it used to be. You really want to be a professional first, have a career first, and oh, by the way, if you end up being a mother, well, whatever. We live in a world in which we need moms. And I'm not just talking biology here. I'm talking about a mindset where we as a people and where women with their, I believe, God-given gifts nurture the world in which we live. Not just our children, not just our, quote, flesh and blood, but when we look around our world, whether it be India, Africa, or the kids next door, we need to develop a spirit of motherhood, of nurturing in our world today. And I believe that God's call to us is to do exactly that. Our scripture passage is one that I truly reminds us in a little different way of exactly that. It reminds us, first of all, that we know the truth. Again, you had the disciples planning to go out and to build the church, go out and develop the kingdom of God in the world today, much like our world, a world that was hurting, a world that was not filled with the good news of Christ. And so they had to go into the world in order to bring the message. But when they needed to replace someone to do that work with, they said, "We need someone who has been with us the whole time. The whole time from the baptism to when he was taken up. We need someone who knows the story, who knows the truth." Folks, first of all, this morning, we need to understand we know the truth. If you're sitting here this morning, you know the truth. If you're sitting here this morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit can put within you the truth. The truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. The truth that God created all things. The truth that God loves us and has been pursuing us. We know the truth. The truth that God's love has changed and transformed each of us. The truth that says if we have experienced the love of God, then we in turn are called to love others. We know the truth. And because of that, we are called to go and to be mothers in this world and to let the Spirit of God transform people's lives. Being a mom means that we share the truth, that we share the hope, that we share the grace, that we share that unconditional love, that God has a purpose for every person on this planet, that God has a purpose for those kids who are hurting and lost in the world, and we're called to mother them. Sometimes it looks different, but instilling that victorious spirit within children is one of the greatest things that we can do. And even more so again in the world today, when you look at it time and time again, I see children who are hurting, who are lost, who are desperate, who need someone to tell them that they are victorious and again winners. The world doesn't, but we can. Mothers play such a significant role in nurturing that spirit. I read a story about a young man who was growing up, and he had the ability to live at the beach during his summertime with his family, and amidst that joy and excellent time of sunshine and water and beach came one of life's earliest challenges. When he was still young, he would love to go to the beach, and he would go and lay out little cities. And he would make small sand castles and buildings in the sand, and he would spend all day building them and organizing them and decorating them. And he loved it. And it wasn't until a little bit later in life, as he became almost a legend on the beach, that someone came into his life. And that someone was a group of a couple young men who were bullies. And they approached him on the beach, and they made fun of him for being a sandcastle builder, and they called him a sissy, and they made fun of him, and all the things you can imagine. But ultimately, what they did was they would go through and they would slowly and methodically kick and knock down his entire sandcastle kingdom. All of a sudden, the beach became a place of fear and anxiety. He didn't know what to do. He went to his mother. He said, "Mom, Mom, I'm afraid. Mom, these guys, they could hurt me. Mom, I don't know what to do. Mom, I'm lost." And the mother took him aside and said, "Honey, you're a child of God. You are important. You are someone in the eyes of God. You have a future. You have a possibility. Don't let these guys get you down. Never, ever forget that your house is built on a solid rock." He thought about it for a long time. He kind of got fired up about the whole idea of being on top of things. He went back to the beach with this spirit. He built yet again another beautiful layout of sandcastles. And then he saw the bullies coming down the beach. He wondered to himself, "Now what do I do?" They caught a glimpse of him and his most latest work. He ran and he hid. And he watched as the bullies walked up to his little kingdom, as they began to swing their feet wildly and laugh. And he remembered what his mother said, "Build your house on the rock. You are built on the rock." And he began to smile, because he had built this latest kingdom on the rock. He had taken large rocks, stuck them in the sand first, built the sandcastles around him, and he waited until that moment, and that bully swung his leg violently and met with a rock for the first time. Down to the ground they went, stub toe and all. For the first time in life, he was a victor instead of a loser. He built his house on the rock. We know the truth. And in doing so, we also must search our hearts. There are people out there who need a mother. There are people out there who need a mothering spirit. There are people out there who need the living Word of God in their life. We know the truth. We need to search our hearts and take time for people. Again, not just our own children, not just the biology in our lives or the papers that we've signed in our lives, but we're talking about people who live next door, people who our children go to school with, people who might be little kids inside of adult bodies who need someone to say, "You're loved, you're special. You are a child of God." Search our hearts and pray. Just as the disciples did, they looked for that person who knew the truth. After they knew it, they looked at their hearts. After they looked at their hearts, they prayed for the wisdom of God. God has someone for you to love. There's no doubt in my mind that God has someone for each of us to love. And we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for direction and for courage and for strength to mother them, to love them, to nurture them, and to have the courage to be Jesus to them with our hands, with our feet, and with our heart, so that they know someone in this crazy world thinks they are special. We must pray, because we know the truth. We must search our hearts. We must pray and find that wisdom. And finally, this morning, we must know that we are chosen. Again, it says that they had these two candidates and then they cast lots. They could have thrown stones, they could have drawn straws, but the key being is they cast lots and Matthias was chosen. Folks, all of us are chosen. All of us are chosen to go forth with the good news of Christ. Visibly reminded of the work of the Hoekstra family this morning for years. Visibly reminded of the 70-year relationship between this church and the Hoekstra family in Africa. Visibly reminded of the power of the Bible and the Word of God alive. Visibly reminded that it's not just Paul, it's not just his family, it's not just the past. It is today, every day, and it's every one of us who have been chosen to mother the world in which we live, to nurture the people in our lives, to share the good news of Jesus with people who, again, we work with, we go to school with, we play sports with, we do plays and dramas with, we belong to book clubs with, we play in a golf league with, we fish with, we hunt with, the list goes on. We are the ones who've been chosen. And today is a day to make the commitment to have mom goggles. Today is a commitment to, again, open up that box, put those goggles on, and see the world in a different way. And see the people who we live and eat and have life with in a different way. And share with them the good news. And let them know that they are children of God. And let them know that Jesus wants a relationship with them. And let them know about the hope that can change their lives. Mom goggles. For the world in which we live. There's a story about a little girl. A little girl who desperately wanted to go to church. A little girl who maybe looked a little bit different and dressed a little different and sounded a little different than the rest of the little girls. She went to a church, she walked up to the door, she said, I want to go to Sunday school, and somebody said, sorry, we're full. She turned with a very sad and distraught countenance. She walked out to the road, and the pastor caught a glimpse and said, honey, what's wrong? She said, I want to go to Sunday school, but they told me it was full. The pastor took her by the hand, walked her into a Sunday school class, made room, got a chair, set her down, and said, there's room for you. She smiled. She was thrilled. She thought it was the best thing ever. She was in Sunday school. For the next 2 years, she didn't miss. For the next 2 years, she was this bright countenance amongst these people. But it was 2 years later that she fell ill. 2 years later that she was so sick that she died. With nowhere to turn, the mother turned to this pastor who welcomed her and said, would you be willing to do a memorial? And he said, sure. And she said, by the way, I found this. And she handed him a little red purse that the girl had carried with her to church every Sunday. And he opened it up, and inside of that purse were 57 pennies. 57 cents. And a little note that said, Dear God, these are the pennies that can make a bigger building so more kids like me can go to Sunday school. She'd saved her pennies to build a bigger building so that more kids could go to Sunday school. Well, right away, the pastor, as we do, said, hey, that's what I'm going to use. And so he shared the story, and he shared the idea of these 57 cents at her memorial. And something happened. All of a sudden, a real estate agent called the church and said, listen, I've got a piece of land. And the pastor said, well, that land is worth thousands of dollars. We can't afford it. And he said, I want 57 cents for it. The church and the community rallied and raised a bunch of money, and suddenly they built a building. And if you go to Philadelphia today, you can go and visit Temple Baptist Church, which seats over 3,000 people. You could take a look at the Sunday school building that was built in order to have a large and prosperous Sunday school program. You could take it a step further and go visit Temple University that came out of this revival and movement, or take it one step further and go to Good Samaritan Hospital. Because one person had mom goggles. Because one person reached out and took that girl by the hand. Because one little girl loved Sunday school so much to collect 57 cents, God did an amazing thing and changed that community in so many ways. If you go in the Sunday school building today, there's a picture of Pastor Cromwell and this little girl and what they began. And what God did because of, in my mind, a mother's love for their community. So this morning, it's Mom's Day. I don't know what that means to you. Again, it's a journey for everybody. But I wonder if we have mom goggles. I wonder if we really, really take the time to be moms, to be mothers, to be mothering in the world today. Amen.